You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Well, today I want to talk about Psalm 23, saying that Psalm 23 is about God, because it's often, that we are trying to find an application in every passage in the Scripture, which is good, because the Word of God is for us and to make a change in our lives, to be more like Jesus, to understand better who's God and see ourselves in the Bible as a mirror and change those things that are bad in our life. So it's good to find applications for ourselves, and we're going to do it today. But I want to say that Psalm 23 is not about David, is not about us, but Psalm 23 is about God. And we're going to see the person of God and the character of God in this psalm today. But before that, I want to pray this morning, so let us pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy and for your word, for this your servants like David that were talking to you in this way through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And today we have this wonderful passage in the Scripture that is memorized for many Christians in different languages around the world, because it's so impacting and it's so beautiful to see your character right there and your care and your love. Thank you, Lord, because we want to learn here, and we're gathering together this morning as your church to listen to you and to obey your word. So that's why we want to pray for your Holy Spirit that is in us, the person of God and the Holy Spirit, to guide us this morning to learn the things you want to teach us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm reading a book of Albert Mohler that I received as a gift in T4G. It's a really good book. And he says that, well, the title of the book is The Prayer That Turns the World Upside Down. And he commenting about the Lord's Prayer, and in one of the sections, is he's combating against the individualism in our prayers as Christians. And he says, over the past several decades, I have noticed that many Christians tend to begin their prayers by presenting their needs. But the Lord's Prayer begins in a very different place, by identifying the character of God when he says, Our Father. So Mohler says, the problem of overemphasizing ourselves in our prayers reminds me of J.K. Chesterton's famous answer to a question put forth by a major newspaper. The question was, what is the problem with the world? This question was sent to many public intellectuals in Victorian England, many of whom sent back long essays delineating the complexities of everything wrong with the world. Chesterton responded with a simple handwriting note, read, I am. Sincerely yours, Chesterton. So Chesterton's answer was just two words. The problem is, I am. This means that the problem with the world is that the world says, I am. So the world is taking the place of God, because God is the great only I am. Finally, the problem with the world, and even with us as Christians, is our individualism and selfishness. We're thinking in our good, but not in the kingdom of God or in our neighbors. We're just thinking, how can I grow? How can I be better? How can I be what I want to be, but not thinking what God wants me to do or be. So my prayer should be focused in the person of God, even when I'm asking for my needs, or for the needs of my family church, or for the salvation of those who are not part of the body of Christ. All my life should be focused first in the person of God. And I have to seek first His glory in every area in my life and in everything that I am doing in my daily life. Well, this takes us to Psalm 23, having these thoughts. Because David starts Psalm 23 with the person of God when he says, "The Lord." He is introducing the principal character of the whole psalm, the Lord, God. So let's read together Psalm 23 and notice that this psalm is not about David, but about God. Do you want to read with me? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lay down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. When we read Psalm 23, we can notice all the goodness of the Lord in the life of David. David is mentioning what is happening in his life for the guidance of the Lord, just because the Lord is his shepherd. Thus, to apply this psalm to our lives, it's necessary to consider if the Lord is our shepherd. The first thing we learn here about God is that He is the Lord. That means that He is sovereign. So sovereignty can be defined as supreme power or authority. That is exactly the way we can define God. And it doesn't matter the way you are related with Him. He's not going to change. God is going to be the Lord all the time. God is going to be ruling the universe and all in it, no matter your behavior. He is the Lord. First thing David did is to recognize that God is the Lord. Secondly, David says that God is his shepherd. So the question today is the Lord your shepherd? He is the Lord, but is your shepherd? Just the gospel of Jesus Christ makes that possible. Jesus taught this in the same terms, saying in John, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And we can also see here the unity between the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father. So he's saying that there are certain people that are his sheep. And I hear many times people saying, all of us in the world, we are a child of God. But that's not true. Other way to refute this sentence that many people are saying is quoting Jesus when he said that some are sheep of the Lord and some are goats. That sounds terrible, right? But it's actually terrible to think that some people is goats and no, they're not sheep. Jesus was talking about the final judgment in Matthew 25, and he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. So the goats represent those who will go away into eternal punishment, and the sheep represent the child of God who will go into eternal life. This is what Jesus explained in Matthew 25. If we can say that the Lord is our shepherd, we can also say with David, I shall no want. That means there is nothing else that I am needing because I am a child of God, because God is my shepherd. One of the biggest challenges for a shepherd that is taking care of sheep is to find green pastures for his sheep. And David is trusting that his shepherd does not have trouble finding green pastures and giving still water to drink. And in verse 3, David says that his shepherd restores his soul. At this point, we can notice that David talked about three basic needs in a sheep. He said, food, water, and restores my soul. Sleep. At this point, we can notice that, and the Lord is taking care of those needs. Not just in a human perspective, but also from a spiritual perspective. And David connects the care of the Lord with the trusting and the guidance of the Lord, saying, he leads me in paths of righteousness, which means that God is the righteous one, and that's why he's instructing his people in justice and righteousness. That's to say that the Word of God is perfect, the Bible we're reading is perfect, and we can trust in the Word of God. That's the way we can know the will of God and then walk in paths of righteousness. So David is walking in paths of righteousness because he's approaching every day, he's going every day and seeking God's will and seeing the Word of God through the scriptures that he had at that point. Same thing we have to do today. If we want to walk in paths of righteousness and have the Lord as our shepherd, we need to read and understand and look at the Bible, his word. Many of the things David is saying are related with what is happening in his life as a result of God's goodness. But at the end of verse 3, David says the reason of God's love and protection. David says, for his name's sake. It's God's name, the reason of David's blessings. It's God's name, the one that matters here. This is not about David, nor about us. This is about the person of God. For his name's sake. The name of God. Many times we struggle with sadness, dissatisfaction in our life because we're centered in ourselves, in the same way that the world does it. Instead of looking for our good, we should seek the kingdom of God. Jesus said, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. This is to say that we are here because we want to follow Jesus and proclaim his name before we say our own name. The proclamation of God's name is not because God needs our praises. No, He is God before we were created. And the proclamation of His name is with the purpose of our own good. So we're going to proclaim God's name for our own good. One of my favorite Psalms, 67, says, "May God be gracious and bless us, and make His face to shine upon us." Selah. So let us reflect on this. The grace of God is the one that provides every good thing in our life. Our family, our church, our job, our food, our health, Honduran coffee, soccer, basketball, no, baseball, or any other thing, good thing you enjoy in your daily life. It's the Lord, the one that is providing those good things in your life. Those are blessings from the Lord. And many times, some of them that also non-believers are enjoying for the common grace of the Lord. But for us, this has a bigger purpose. And the next verse in Psalm 67 shows us that purpose. Verse 2 says, "That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations." Again, so before he said, "May God be gracious and bless us and make His face to shine upon us." And then verse 2 says, "That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations." It is through the blessings of God in our life that other people is going to recognize and glorify God's name. And it's through that recognition of God's glory that we are going to be blessed. So we're blessed to make the name of God known among the people, and when we make the name of God known among the people, we are blessed. That is why verse number 3 in Psalm 67 says, "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you." That is, give the glory to God and also receive the blessings to God because we're praising His name. From Psalm 67, we learn that if we praise the Lord and we make His name known, we will see His grace, His blessings, and His face shining upon us, according to the verse 1. So, if we praise the name of God, we will see His grace, His blessings, and His face shining upon us. But then number 4, Psalm 23, and verse number 4, everything takes a different tone right here. Now it's not just blessings, green pastures, and still waters. Now it's about the valley of the shadow of death. That shouldn't happen in Christian life, right? But it happens. The focus of the psalm is, it is still on the Lord and how He's protecting and guiding even in the midst of trouble. Christian life is also a daily walking in problems of all kind. Economical issues, family trouble, or health diseases are part of our life. And we have different ways to face them. But the one who has the Lord as his shepherd will not fear of any of those obstacles. Because with David, can say to the Lord, "You are with me." And that's why we don't fear of those things. "You are with me." The shepherd, my shepherd, is with me. David was a sinner in the same way you and I are. And he did great mistakes in his life. It does make sense when he said, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Knowing that without God's correction, David would be lost. Just as a rebellious sheep separates from his shepherd and needs to be corrected and forced to return to the shepherd who draws it with love to himself using his staff. We're many times like David and like that rebellious sheep, trying to do our own will against our loving and precious father and our loving and precious shepherd. When finally we realize that we can't be by ourselves, our lovely shepherd gives us forgiven, still with the suffering of the consequences of our sin. But he restores our soul, and he gives us communion with him again just by his grace. Verse number 6, Psalm 23. Well, no, further. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Verse number 5. This is not about the glory of David in the presence of his enemies, but it's about God's glory in the presence of ungodly men. When we read David in some Psalms praying to God for the destruction of his enemies, doesn't mean that we have to pray for the destruction of our neighbor that we don't like. In that case, we should pray for ourselves to love our neighbor. But what is happening here is that God's enemies are David's enemies. And the victory of David against his enemies means God's glory. So finally, it's not about the victory of David against his enemies, but it's about the glory of God. That is why in this verse it's so important that God makes David banquet in the presence of his enemies, because that means God's victory against the idolaters. Second part of verse 6 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." This anointing in the head of David means the blessing of the Lord upon David. David is repeating, "I shall no want." We know David was a wealthy king, but he was not a king all his life. He was also a shepherd. And during his time as a shepherd, I think he had the same heart that when he was a king. He said all his life, "I shall no want, because he's my shepherd. Not because my cup overflows," which finally means that he was a rich person, that he has a good economical position. And it is good and a blessing of the Lord if you are a wealthy person, but don't put your joy on that, because you have today and tomorrow, you don't know. But if you put your trust in the Lord, you can be sure, because the Lord is going to be today, and it's going to be tomorrow, and it's going to be for the eternity with you. You will not fear, because he is going to be with you. Now the final verse is a beautiful declaration of God's mercy and goodness in David's life. And the hope of an eternal life in the house of God. Verse number 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, David starts number 6. It says, surely. He has assurance. He is not doubting that the Lord is gonna give him goodness and mercy. Every day of his life, That assurance is because he knows that God is giving him grace. Mercy because he is not receiving the punishment that he deserved. But instead of that, David is receiving the goodness of his shepherd. Same thing that happened with us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We deserve the punishment of God because our sin. But through Jesus Christ, he is paying the price because God is a righteous God. And he is going to fulfill his judgment. And his judgment was again his own only son. Because of your sin and my sin. And that's why David says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. Mercy. He knows he needs mercy. Because he's a sinner. Like me. Like you. Then he says, all the days of my life. And then he jumps to the eternity. And he says, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If the Lord is our shepherd, we will dwell in his house forever, in the same way that David is saying here. And we will rest in his presence without sin. To do the same thing we're trying to do today. Give the glory to him. And in that way fulfill the purpose of our life. And see his grace and blessings. And also his face shining upon us. There is our hope. That we will be with him forever. Giving him the glory. This right here is just preparing for that day. We can dwell today also in the presence of our Lord, knowing that we are giving him the glory. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this word that you gave us today, and for your mercy that we need every day through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for the gospel that saved us. Thank you for every song we sing today and every time of prayer, scripture reading. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together. And also thank you, Lord, because you are Lord, no matter what happened. But also thank you for your grace because you are our shepherd. And I pray for salvation for those that are walking by themselves, like goats, in rebellion against you. Touch the heart of those people that needs you, Lord. And help us to show your glory to them, to walk in sanctification and show that you are holy to them. Thank you for your church. And thank you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.